Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please go to Ephesians chapter 2. And tonight we're going to look at one of the most well-known passages in the book of Ephesians. Most Christians either know this already by heart, or they at least know about this passage. We're going to kind of walk through it piece by piece tonight and just be blessed by God's Word. Ephesians chapter 2, down at verse 8, where we finished last week, the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So I've entitled the message, "The Gift of God." Let's pray. Lord, use your word in our hearts this evening. Thank you for it. We're blessed to have it. And we open our hearts now to you and ask that you would use your powerful word to change us, to speak to us, to do whatever's needed in our lives, and guide us in this service. We're thankful to be here, and we give it to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's so much in these two verses. For by grace are you saved. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all be going to hell. That's the truth of the matter. But God's grace led him to Calvary. And it's by his grace we're saved. And this is one of the things the world doesn't understand. That we can't get saved by something we do, as we'll see. We can only get saved because the Heavenly Father is gracious. And if you would, go over to Titus chapter 2, verse 11, where the Bible teaches us that this grace that leads to our salvation is available to all. And praise God for that. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Notice what God says here. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." And so the grace of God, it says, that bringeth salvation is available to all. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And it's the grace of God through which we're saved. For by grace are you saved. His grace, our faith. And that's what the verse says. For by grace are you saved through faith. So God did everything necessary. Calvary, resurrection, all that's required. Because of his grace, we just need to believe through faith. That's our part. Through faith. And that by faith, what do? We trust Jesus. Remember we looked at that in chapter 1? Look back there again. In Ephesians chapter 1, the great truth we saw there, where God shows that trust and believe are synonymous. Look there in verse 13, "In whom ye also trusted at that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." So God there is saying that trusting and believing are the same thing, because they are. It's just as accurate to say we need to trust in Christ as it is to say we need to believe on Christ. That's why Jesus said, "He that believeth on me hath everlasting life." Through faith, we need to place our faith on Jesus to be saved through the grace of God. Look at Romans chapter 3, if you would, and verse 22, where again we see that it is by faith. Romans chapter 3, verse 22, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." Look at verse 28. "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." It's by faith that we find salvation. And just to drive the point home, which is why this verse is used so often when people witness, he says in verse 8 of our passage, "not of yourselves." You can't mix grace and works. How do we know that? Because God says so. Look at Romans chapter 11 and verse 6. If you ever want to show somebody that you can't mix grace and works, take them to Romans 11, 6, which makes it very clear that it's one or the other. And isn't it sad that the majority of the world is trying to earn heaven? Going to church, keeping the commandments, getting baptized, following the church's whatever list of whatever they might have, whatever group it might be, but they're trying to earn it. Look at Romans 11:6. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Very clear. You can't have grace and works. You can either get to heaven by grace or try to get to heaven by works. Of course, you can't get to heaven by works. Well, you can if you never sin once. So it's too late, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So it can't be done. Look at the previous chapter, Romans 10, which again is using Israel as an example, but it shows us the world. Romans chapter 10, verse 3, where God, remember, God said, not of yourselves. Look at Romans 10, 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. That word establish. That's what the world's trying to do, is establish their own righteousness. They're trying to earn God's favor, trying to earn the kingdom, earn heaven. You can't do it. They, being ignorant of God's righteousness. Because if you're trying to establish your own righteousness, you're ignorant of the fact that God is perfectly holy and will only allow someone who's perfectly holy into heaven. Well, then why do people try to establish their own righteousness? They're wasting their time because they're sinners. You can't undo the sin by doing good things, which is what most people believe. And so God drives it home by saying, not of yourselves. And then, just to make it ever so clear, verse 8, it is the gift of God. The gift of God. Now, if you would go to Romans 5, where God expounds upon this for us, but this is important. God is telling us that salvation, which is by grace, is a gift. You've all heard this before, but you cannot earn a gift. If you do, it's not a gift anymore. A gift has to be given and received. God has paid the price of our salvation, so there's no earning involved, and offers us a gift. What do we have to do? By faith, receive it. That's it. Look at Romans 5, verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. I like how God makes it ever so clear. It's not just a gift, it's a free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Three times in that passage, God uses the phrase free gift. He didn't have to do that. Gift is free. But he wanted us to get the point. But you cannot earn it. It's free. Salvation is free. It's the gift of God. And most of us know Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we're saved by grace through faith, and we cannot earn it. Not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. And then in verse 9 of our passage, let's go back there. He's already said, not of yourselves, but just to make it again ever so clear, he says, not of works. Three words, which undoes what? 95% of the world's religions? Not of works. And if you've ever witnessed to people, what percentage believe they're going to get themselves to heaven by doing something? Isn't it sad? The devil's crafty, isn't he? Not of works. Not of works. Look at Romans 4:5. And God again drives this truth home that it's not of works. Romans chapter 4, verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Again, God is contrasting faith and works. He says, worketh not. You can't work your way to heaven. Can't do it. And then again, if you would look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, talking about the fact that it's not of works, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, God says here, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. And that's a good verse, but that's not the one I wanted. 2 Timothy 1:9, it says, who hath saved us and called us as with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Praise God for his grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. I'm sure you've heard that before. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that's where he finishes it. Let's be honest. If we could earn our way to heaven, there's pride there. Which is why man tries so hard to earn his way to heaven, isn't it? What is the original sin? Pride. And the devil's passed that on to us. Biblical Christianity has a complete absence of pride when it comes to salvation, because it says, I can't do anything. I'm on my way to hell. I'm condemned. Right? Him that believeth in not, the Bible says in John 3:18, we're condemned already. It's not that we're going to be condemned, we're already condemned. And so true biblical Christianity says, I can't do anything about my sin problem. I deserve to go to hell. I have to come to the Lord and ask Him for help. And if I'm going to make it to heaven, it's not because of anything I've done. It's because of what He did. Because He's gracious enough to offer me a free gift. There's no pride in that. But if a person believes, you know, those people that knock on your door, they believe, it's one of two groups typically. One group believes that if they follow this long list of rules and regulations that their headquarters gives them, they have to knock on so many doors, they have to be faithful to church. If they just follow all this long list, then they'll have a chance in the kingdom. Of course, they believe heaven's already full. So they believe they'll have their chance in the kingdom. And then the other group that might be knocking on your door, they're trusting in their man's organization again, but they're trusting that they can earn their way to get their own planet someday. Both of them are works. And they both believe that they are the only ones, that everybody else is condemned unless they join their group. Sounds like some pride there. God says, lest any man should boast. Where does man have a place to boast before an infinitely powerful and holy God? He doesn't. Matter of fact, if you go to Isaiah 64:6, another verse that many of you, I'm sure, already know, God here, He's not talking about our sins, and that's what makes this verse so powerful. He's talking about our righteousnesses. It's kind of a long word. Our righteousnesses. Look at it. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. It doesn't say our sins are like filthy rags. It says our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Because in comparison to the perfect Son of God, who was willing to die on the cross as our substitute and shed his blood for us, our righteousnesses are useless. They're like filthy rags. And yet, how many people are saying, Lord, I want to meet you someday and offer you my righteousnesses. Because surely that's enough. Okay, Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood for me, but let me offer my righteousnesses. You see how foolish that is? And if we could, of course, we would boast about it. Let's face it. We get to heaven and say, well, I did just enough righteousnesses to get here, but poor old Todd. He was one short. I'm going to just be sorry about that my whole life while I'm enjoying heaven. That I made it and he didn't. Poor old Todd. Just all that boasting. That's what we would be doing. We're just going to fall on our faces, amen? We're not going to boast about anything. We're just going to fall on our faces and say, thank you, Lord, that you loved me enough, that you had the grace to offer me the gift of salvation through the merits of what Jesus did on the cross. Thank you. And we're just going to praise him and we're going to thank him. There's going to be no pride. Lest any man should boast. That's exactly what would happen. And if you look at Romans 3:27, there is no room for boasting ever, even after we're saved. But that's a whole different topic. Because everything that we have is because of God, and everything that we do is through God. So God gets all the glory, man should get none. Notice Romans 3:27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Again, you can't mix them. So there is no boasting. When it's only by faith, you can't boast. When it's only through what Jesus did and trusting him, there is no boasting. But, of course, there would be boasting. And that was the problem. Look at Luke chapter 18. That was the number one problem with the Jews when Jesus came to the earth and started preaching the truth. What was the problem? The Jews believed that they could get to heaven because they were Jews. And if they would just follow the rules and regulations of the Pharisees or the scribes or who else, whoever they decided to follow, but it was all about self-righteousness. And the first word out of John the Baptist's mouth when he started preaching was, repent. The first word out of Jesus' mouth when he started preaching was, repent. And they didn't want to hear about repentance. They're Jews. And so Jesus even told a parable here in Luke 18. He said, verse 9, he spake a parable unto them, unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. That's a good description of what he found when he came to the earth. Trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Nobody's righteous. That's why when we share the gospel with people, where do we go first? All have sinned. You got to admit you need a Savior before you can have a Savior. And so we always start with sin, just like Jesus did with the woman at the well. What did he do after he got her attention? He started asking about her husbands. And zeroed in on the fact, oh, by the way, you're a sinner. And she tried to change the subject, but eventually she realized there was something different about Jesus. And praise God, she got saved. But aren't we so blessed that it was a gift? Hallelujah. The grace of God, through our faith, we receive this wonderful gift. Thanks be unto God, it says in 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. The gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. The gift that we cannot earn by works. The gift that is not of ourselves, the gift that we can't boast about, the gift that we receive because we serve a gracious God. Thank the Lord for the gift of God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for